sitting with us this morning. We're thrilled that you're here. We hope that you being here will give you the strength that you need to get through a week that we know is made more difficult by the fact that God is working against, or that Satan is working against God's purpose in our life. And we want to make each other strong so that we can withstand him. I know that your being here is a real encouragement to us, and we hope that it's an encouragement to you. We'll have a little bit more to say about that after our discussion this morning. But we're back to Matthew, the fourth chapter, and beginning at verse 13. We'll read through this again. This is the record of Jesus in the beginning of his ministry, calling at least four people to be his disciples. Now, we'll notice a few things about this call. We noticed some things last week, but we'll dig a little bit deeper into the things that we looked at last week. New International Translation says this in Matthew 4 at verse 18. One day Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers. They were Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. They were throwing a net into the lake. They were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. I'll make you fishers of people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers. They were James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, and they were preparing their nets, Jesus called out to them. Right away, they left the boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. Jesus went all over Galilee. There he taught in the synagogues. He preached the good news of God's kingdom. He healed every illness and the sicknesses that the people had. News about him spread all over Syria. People brought to him all that were ill with different kinds of sickness. Some were suffering great pain. Others were controlled by demons. Some were shaking wildly. Others couldn't move at all. Jesus healed all. Large crowds followed him. Some people even came from Galilee, from the area known as the Ten Cities, and from Jerusalem and Judea. Others came from across the Jordan River. People wanted to follow Jesus. And as we looked at it last week, you know, we made the point, Jesus calls us from the life that we now know. He has a great affinity for fishermen. First four people that he called to be his disciples, they were fishermen. They were just plying their trade. And Jesus says, come follow me. You're not going to be fishermen anymore. I'll make you fishers of men. You know, the thing is, you just can't follow Jesus as if you were adding him to what you already had. They were fishermen. Jesus didn't say, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men in your spare time. He said, come, follow me, and I'll make you something completely different in your life. It's not an addition. You know, when James wrote to the early church, he was correcting a problem that the early church that he was writing to had. They were continuing to be the kind of people that they had been before they became Christians. In James, the second chapter, he deals with one of the problems that they had. They had respect for persons. And that's not uncommon. In fact, it's so common that it's you might almost say it's just inherent in people that we have respect of persons. And I started thinking about, how do I respect people? Is this something that I do? You know, when we were living in Spokane, Washington, I used to ride the bus out to Cheney so that I could meet with my classes on campus. Taking the bus is an interesting exercise. When Tim and I used to get on the bus at the first stop. So we would get on the bus and sit down, and usually the people that got on the bus at that first stop didn't fill it up. So you could sit here, you might have an empty seat next to you. And then you get to the next stop, and more people get on the bus. And I have to tell you, there were times when I prayed that the person that was coming down the aisle didn't sit in the seat next to me, because that person stunk. He might have been homeless. He hadn't had a bath. He just didn't smell good. And I didn't want him to sit on the seat next to me. Now, there were some people that would come down the aisle, and I would do everything I could to almost invite them to sit next to me, because these people were students at Eastern, or they were faculty members that were riding the bus just like I was, and they were well kept. They were going to sit down. They were going to enjoy the ride out to Eastern. It took us about 20 minutes or so. That's respect of person. Some people I didn't want to sit with me. Well, that's what they were doing in James. He says, people come into your assembly, they're wearing nice clothes, and you say, come, sit here in a good spot. And somebody comes in tattered clothes, and you say, come on, you know, we're glad you're here, sit over here in the corner. It's respect the person. You're wearing nice clothes, you come in, you sit here. We've got a heater, a potbelly stove in the middle of the building. You come and sit, you can sit up close to the potbelly stove. It's nice and warm there. James says, you cannot have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. You just can't keep that from your former life and say, I'll add Jesus to my life now. It can't be done. Jesus is transformative. Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 1, the apostle says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't be conformed to the world. It's not that you can be conformed to the world and have Jesus. When Jesus calls you, he's calling you to say, don't be conformed to the world. Romans, the 6th chapter, at verse 19. Look at the totality of the change. He says, I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. If you're my slave, and you say, well, I want to still be your slave, and I also want to be a slave to somebody else. It doesn't work that way. It just can't work that way. We used to offer ourselves as slaves to impurity, but we don't do that anymore. Not that we keep a little bit of impurity. We don't keep any impurity. That's what he says in Romans 6 in verse 13. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. God doesn't share. Jesus calls us to an everyday life with him. Look at this illustration. Don't offer any part of yourself as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. I can't continue to be what I was before. Following Jesus is transformative. It will transform every part of your life. When we say come follow Jesus, we're not saying that in your worship, do only what Jesus describes. That's a part of it, but it isn't it. You don't come into this place and say, I follow Jesus, I do exactly what he says to do, and then leave here and go do something else. That's not following Jesus. That's not transforming. Yes, you will do what Jesus wants you to do as you worship him, but you will do it on Monday as well when you're working at your job. There can be no place, if you're following Jesus, not even a secret place that nobody knows about, where you can still practice what you used to be. Look at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to let you take that one home with you and read that this afternoon. Look at how Jesus, or look at how the Apostle Paul says, Jesus expects you to be sexually pure. There is no secret place where you can practice sexual impurity. It can't be when you go into your bedroom at night and you turn on your computer and nobody can see what you're doing and you can view sexually impure images. It can't be that what stays in Vegas, or what happens in Vegas, stays in Vegas. When you go to Las Vegas, God doesn't give you a pass to say, this is a secret part of my life. This is nobody knows about this. Not even in the secret places does God not expect you to follow him. There can be no place for lying, not even a secret place. You can't even lie to yourself. Now think about what that means. You can't even lie to yourself. And the life that Jesus calls on you to live is not a comparatively better life than your peers. It will be a comparatively better life than your peers. But Jesus wants you to live a different life. And it's a total call. Well, I'm excited that I have this opportunity to follow Jesus. Can't imagine what my life would be like if I didn't follow him. A lot of people want to follow him a little bit. They're not happy. They can't be happy. Can't be happy following Jesus because they're just doing it a little bit. And they can't be happy following the way that Satan wants them to live because there's too much of Jesus in them. They just can't be happy at all. But we can be happy following Jesus because we follow him completely. It is a transformative call. If you're here today and you want to follow Jesus, let somebody know. That's your decision. We will help you to put on Jesus in baptism. Confess that he's the Son of God. Repent of the way that you used to live. That's all a part of following Jesus. We'll help you.